Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around. Welcome back to Hacks and Hobbies. If you haven't listened to part one, go back and hear John's powerful take on curiosity and life stories. Today, we break into how curiosity transforms operations and cultures for sustainable growth. John, welcome back to the show. I'm so excited to speak with you.
Thanks for having me.
John, you've led a $7 million budget nonprofit out of a downward spiral and helped startups scale. How did curiosity drive your operational audits?
Yeah, so when my career first launched, obviously, you know, I wasn't really tasked with changing things for the most part. It just became, it was a very natural thing for me to do. Even my very first role, I was traveling, being trained on what the role was, and just something didn't sit right with me. I was being told what to do and what to tell other people, but I couldn't find it in writing anywhere. And so I went back to the executive office, armed with my curiosity and said, hey, where is this located? And it was like, the answer ended up being like buried somewhere. I'm like, This is the lifeblood of this organization, how it gets its revenue, what its programming is, everything. And the key to this, the guideline to this, is buried in the back of a conference manual. So I brought this out. I asked the boss, can I change that? He's like, yeah, go ahead. And it changed how the entire organization worked and delivered its value and got its money and increased in revenue by over 20%, increased programming by 500%, all because I was willing to ask the question, where is this located? And so I carried that all the way through my career. Now, obviously, as a consultant and as kind of a change agent, COO in the past, I've been brought onto organizations to kind of uncover, department by department, where the problems exist, where efficiency can be created, and where operational excellence can be executed, which I define as an organization's ability to achieve its intended results as efficiently and effectively as possible.
Wow, that is something that only a young new person in a company would do, right? You're a young new person, you're like, hey, how does this all work? You're telling me something, but there's nowhere written. Where is it? And then, of course, the boldest people are the young kids. And you probably know that because your son will ask you all sorts of questions at the wrong time. It's because they don't have, like, they are curious. They're non-judgmental. Now, how does this curiosity intersect with strategy and clear communication? Talk to us about this.
Yeah. So, I mean, our organizations are run by human beings. Surprise, surprise. And again, human beings are creatures of habit, creatures of comfort, creatures of fear. And so our organizations naturally fall into the same patterns we do as humans. You know, the stat right now is that by the time someone is 35 years old, 95% of their thoughts, actions, and emotions are subconscious, meaning we don't think about them. We 5% of our day, we're actively thinking and participating in something new, and 95% we're not. And so if you take that to our organizations, that means we fall into the process of just doing what we're told to do. We micromanage people, we create these SOPs and say, follow this to a T. So really bringing curiosity to that is, yes, SOPs are important. It shows us how we run our business and keeps, consistency in how we do things and why we do them that way. But you also have to find ways, because the comfort and habits and fear are natural, you got to find ways to break through that. And so, like, I believe in things like making a part of every single person's job, their job description, find a way to improve your job. Like, that should be a quarterly mission for you, to find a way to do something faster, cheaper, better, whatever it is. Break free from the comfort and habits and find ways to truly innovate, grow, and change.
Wow, your answers are so concise and powerful. I'm like, there's so much packed in these answers. I just love it. And as you're sharing about, you know, this constant growth and, you know, empowering everybody, every person in the company, every employee to have that growth mindset. I mean, the CEO of, I think it's HubSpot, was mentioning that, hey, if you want somebody new in the company, show me that you're already using AI to find solutions, because we're not going to add a new person unless you're already working at your 20x marker. And that's what AI has been able to do. Now, fostering curiosity in teams means opposing comfort zones, just like you mentioned, right? People love staying in those comfort zones and they barely want to get out. And so how do you create those psychological safety so people feel safe to questioning that status quo?
Yeah, I mean, for one of it's about building a culture, right? It's not just about having something in a manual or having something in an employee review, but it's truly about creating this culture that allows for this to happen. And if you've ever been through a culture change, it's not going to happen overnight. For one, you have to be definitive. You have to declare, this is the type of culture we're going to build and why, and communicate that thoroughly to your entire organization. And then you implement those things like, you know, I've talked about before about, you know, leaders speaking last. It's a great way to do it. But one of the biggest things that people have got to learn to do is getting to know their team. And not from a very superficial happy hour type way, water cooler type way, but in meetings with your staff. You know, if you're creating a culture where you want feedback and intel from your staff, you know, a lot of times doing it one-on-one first will show them that you truly care about their views, you know, but you also not just about what's happening in the organization, but also what's happening with them. You want, I know today it's seen as young people only want to do what they want to do and don't do what they don't want to do. But I just, that blows my mind. If you could choose having a staff that's doing 5% of what they love and 95% that what they hate, versus 95% what they love and 5% what they will tolerate to have the job, which group do you think is going to be more engaged, more productive, less errors, and stay longer? It's going to be the latter. But we complain about people only wanting to do what they want to do. And again, I'm not saying that, you know, there are times when people have to do certain parts of their job that they don't enjoy. That's okay. But you really want to get to know your staff about what winds their clock, what makes them motivated to come into work every day, and what their future goals are. So while they're working for your organization and improving it and helping it and helping you grow, you can help foster that career as well.
John, this is just the advice that I needed, right? Because I work with a team and I'm working with the team as a whole, but not understanding who every single person is and what their things are. So it's inspiring me to go and have those one-on-one conversations. Sure, some of them might not be speaking the same language that I do, but I know that I can make the effort to at least show and be curious to, you know, who, what do they like to do? What is that 95% fun thing that they love to do that they would come back for every single day? I mean, I absolutely love that. Now talk to me about the companies are experiencing this and they are implementing these things. What's the result and how have organizations changed because of this mindset shift?
Yeah, so when we kind of operate in the old school way of a little micromanagement and having people just keep their heads down and just doing what they're told to do, they're not looking around them. So you just imagine, right? Like, you know, companies do a financial audit, you know, once a year. They might bring in some outsider for strategic planning, you know, every, you know, 1 year to 5 years, whatever it may be. Yeah. Just imagine if you had that kind of intel, that kind of insight happening in your organization every single day, how much more powerful you would be, the organization would be, to use that knowledge and in information. You know, one of the examples I like to give is the fact that, like, someone in accounting has opinions on the customer service journey and how customers are invoiced and how contracts go out. Someone on the sales team has opinions about how accounting is happening and how it's getting in the way or might be getting in the way or could be improved. Again, we all have these different perspectives, and by allowing everyone to share their thoughts and views without the old adage of stay in your lane, that's above your pay grade, and truly allow for that exchange of information, you're going to have a 360 view of your organization at all times.
I'm of the thought of, having these open mindsets, but sometimes I just want to put my head down and do the work. So I'm sure there's a combination.
Yeah. Again, being curious and invoking change and all of these concepts that I love, it doesn't replace the fact that you still have to get the job done, right? Like, again, I'm not opposed to SOPs, even though I kind of talk about them in a negative way. I think they're vitally important for anyone who wants to have their organization be sustainable to make sure that these things are written down and followed. But the key is to allow those little increments of a little pieces of time that allow us to step back. I mean, it could be as simple as when you finish a project or finish a task, if it's taking you 2 hours to do, spend 5 to 10 minutes thinking about it, right? Just when you go to the restroom, go to get a glass of water, whatever it may be, spend 5 to 10 minutes reflecting on what you just did and what worked and didn't work, right? Again, we do this all the time on big projects and big releases, but making these small incremental changes are going to allow us to get more done in less time, spend less money, have more engaged staff, all of these things which just kind of really compound upon each other and just showcase that some of the biggest impacts in organization can be these small, minuscule improvements.
John, you're absolutely right. And as we talk about culture, there's another C word that we see showing up in the space of creators and entrepreneurs, and it's community. And as I'm listening to this conversation, we're essentially creating a culture similar to a community where we have open conversation, we have open dialogue about how can we get better overall, and how can, we increase that baseline. And there's so many things happening in companies where they could be doing a much better job. A recent story that I recently heard and following through is around what happened at Disney, right? I don't know if you know the stories, but the entire original Avengers are leaving because, number one, the roles have been ended, right? They are Iron Man's gone, Black Widow's gone. They're trying to do a season two with Hawkeye, but they're paying him half of what they had paid him for the first season, right? He also went through some a crazy accident where he was bedridden, healing from this accident where he was crushed by a 16,000-pound. You probably heard of that. And there was no communication from any of the people in the company. And I'm like, why is that?
You're absolutely right. I mean, forming a sense of community, it does a couple of things, right? For one, it shows the people that you care, not just about their performance, not just about their role in the organization, but them as a human being. I mean, that can go further than anything. I think, I know you're talking about, salaries being reduced and everything, but a lot of CEOs, I say on the flip side, make the mistake of constant promotions, constant raises, constant this, constant that are great things to have, but then don't respect their employees. And they're still leaving, right? Because there's only so much that a paycheck can help you overcome in a bad culture. And so, creating an environment where people, care about the vision of the company, care about the vision of the CEO. And the other thing CEOs have to learn is like, your staff should never care as much as you. You are the owner, you are the CEO, you are the person driving this entire organization. But at least buy into what you're selling them and selling the world through your company, and showing that you care, and bringing them all along for the ride as individuals and as their employee role.
John, that's really powerful, and I appreciate you taking that sidetrack with me. Let's jump into some quick lightning round questions. What is the one hobby that you wished you picked up?
I have no artistic talents whatsoever. Music, singing, whatever. I would love to be a great singer, a great writer, a great pianist, you know, whatever it is. I'd love to have some kind of arts talent.
I love it. I love it, man. So I always wanted to play some kind of instrumental music. I've never been able to, but I always loved music, and I sang a few times with my band 20 plus years ago, and every once in a while in a karaoke. But I was at this event, and they had this large piano that anybody can just play, and I was like, "Oh, let me see if I can play something." So I pulled up this app, and it could basically teach you how to, you know, detect which chords are there, which keys are there, and, you know, actually play. So that was a lot of fun. You try to understand that and play it. Let's go to the next question. What is your favorite movie?
Dead Poets Society has been my favorite movie since I was in high school.
You know what? I have never seen that movie.
Really? It's a great movie on life. You know, it's about a bunch of school kids in a prep school, which doesn't really translate to my life directly, but you know, there's just so much about it. You know, it invokes, you know, old sayings from Walt Whitman and Thoreau, and really just kind of, it's a really good movie.
Nice. I'm going to have to put it on my list. Next up, John, one concrete action our listeners can take today to activate their curiosity.
Learn to ask questions. You know, I think that is the biggest thing that people can do, and do it, again, we talked about being curious, not judgmental. Do it from a place of true intrigue. You know, we all know those CEOs who ask those passive aggressive questions. I have a client that I do work for who says, "Hey, did this happen?" Knowing fully well it didn't happen, right? Like, that is not the type of question that I'm talking about, but truly, like, trying to get to an understanding of what people are doing, why they're doing it, and again, inviting them to partake in that conversation and knowledge journey.
John, thank you so much. This has been absolutely enlightening, from reframing life stories to redesigning business operations. Where can listeners learn more about your work?
Yeah, go to two websites of mine. One is just johnbassford.com, JohnBassford. It's my kind of personal brand site, if you will. And then my consulting business, where we do the operational audits and consulting, is think-lateral.com.
Perfect. We'll be sure to include the links in the show notes and make sure that they can connect with you through those links. John, thank you so much again for coming back to the podcast. Until next time, thank you again. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for having me.
And to everyone listening, don't just consume curiosity. Deploy it. Ask better questions. Challenge your assumptions. And watch as your work and life transform. Thanks for tuning into Hacks and Hobbies. Until next time, stay curious.
Congratulations, you made it to the end of the episode. Thanks so much for listening to our guest on this episode. Please send me an email at Junaid@hacksandhobbies.com to tell me what you loved about our guest today. You can find links mentioned in this episode on the hacksandhobbies.com website.